Hi, I'm Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insight, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. In this episode of Pharmacy Focus, we spoke with Amy Stevens, Emily Kenley, and Max Baer about social determinants of health. So just to start, could you each introduce yourselves and give a little bit of background about like where you work and what you do?
Sure, I can start. I'm Amy Stevens. I'm the Director of Adherence Improvement and Client Services for Rite Aid Pharmacy. I've been with Rite Aid for the vast majority of my career. I've been in healthcare for over 15 years, with at least 11 of those years with Rite Aid.
All right, I can go next. So my name's Emily Kennelly. I've worked in the pharmacy field for 19 years, all of which have been with Rite Aid. I'm currently an adherence and clinical services manager for Rite Aid, and I actually just transitioned into this role about a month ago from an MTM role where I focused on closing clinical care gaps with another focus on SDOH outreach.
I am Max Baer. I am the clinical manager for our health plan solutions team here at Rite Aid. Been with Rite Aid since 2015, and my main role is to develop relationships with Medicare and Medicaid partners in our operating space to develop specific programs, whether that be around adherence or anything from gaps in care for their members.
So could you start by explaining how social determinants of health can impact patient outcomes in care?
Sure, thank you. Social determinants of health can impact outcomes in patient care in an unlimited amount of ways. It can create issues with continuity of care, disease state management, and adherence. Looking at adherence and disease state management, if a patient lacks transportation or they don't have convenient access to public transportation, they may not be able to pick up their prescriptions in a timely manner. In the same fashion, if they have a language or educational barrier, they may not understand their disease state and the importance of their medications. Really, whether it is because of SDOH or any other reason, if a patient becomes not adherent to their medications, they don't get the intended benefits from their prescribed medications, which can have a significant impact on patient outcomes.
Okay, so what can pharmacists do to help alleviate patients' social determinants of health?
By identifying social determinants of health concerns from patients and helping address them, it enables patients to take their medications as prescribed and better engage with their own health and wellness. Again, if you think about transportation issues, if you can offer as a pharmacy, if you can offer delivery and alleviate that stress for your patients, it's a win-win. They take their medications and they have less stress on their plates.
I really think that one of the most helpful things that pharmacists can do to alleviate those SDOH concerns is to just take the simple step of familiarizing themselves with whatever local community resources they have available to their patients. That would include things such as food banks, city or county transportation and housing resources, et cetera. Having that just base foundational knowledge will really give pharmacists the confidence to seamlessly initiate an impactful SDOH conversation with a patient.
And I think some really particular ways that pharmacists help alleviate some of these issues is around language barriers and also visually impaired or hearing impaired individuals that we have at our pharmacy. So making sure that we are set up for interpreter services or multilingual associates can kind of help ensure that we can adequately educate and counsel our customers so that there's no confusion in healthcare, right? Because we all know how confusing and, you know, frustrating it can be for a patient that might not be able to understand their medication therapy or just in general their care plan if it's not in their native language or if they have some other visually impaired or hearing impaired capability. So making sure we have prescription labels or other medication related documents that can be printed in different languages, having bold or large print, something like Braille RX labels, speaking or talking RX labels, and also some video remote interpreting services for sign language. So how we communicate and how we deliver this information is imperative to a customer's overall health. And that's why we want to implement all of these services and resources so that every customer has no doubt when they leave our stores or have a conversation with us that there's no confusion around their health and medication therapy.
Could you describe some of the challenges that you may face in addressing social determinants of health?
Sure. Social determinants of health conversations can be really tough to navigate. They involve some pretty sensitive questions, and your patients really have to trust their local pharmacy teams enough to be vulnerable to tell them if they have a food insecurity or if they have to choose between paying their rent or picking up their medications in a given month. So these conversations, even though they're hard to have, they're also really emotionally impactful to our teams. So as an example, I will never forget the day that I had a little girl come in with her mom telling me that she had just been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Her mom was with her, but was being very standoffish and very, you could just tell she was very uncomfortable. I immediately got the sense that it was coming from a place of lack of knowledge and discomfort around her knowledge base with diabetes, but it was a very emotionally charged situation. I was able to get the mom to engage around the medications a little bit, but as I was showing her how to use the glucometer, the mom looked at the little girl and said, "You better pay attention because I'm just not going to help you with this. This is on you." And the sadness and grief that I felt for that little girl was immense, and it's never left me. And it was very early in my career as a pharmacist. So I just think that not only are these conversations tough to initiate and tough to have, they can really be emotionally charged for the pharmacy teams that are having them.
So jumping back to Amy's first point, I also find that one of my biggest challenges with the social determinants of health conversations is just gaining that initial trust and getting the patient to open up. And even more so when you have to counsel a patient over the phone. I've really found that to overcome some of those challenges, using the right wording can really help to guide that conversation. Using open-ended questions such as, "What information can I provide you?" can kind of solicit a better answer than, "Well, what do you need?" I actually asked that question to a patient and it led to a really good, impactful conversation. I was speaking with her about her medication regimen and I had learned that she was really struggling with finding some extra money to purchase an over-the-counter pain reliever for her arthritis that her provider had recommended to her. She was really embarrassed to talk to her provider about it. I realized that OTC pain medication was actually on her covered plan formulary. So I called her provider on her behalf to get a prescription for that. And in a follow-up call with the patient a few weeks later, I learned that she was able to get the medication through her insurance. So really just navigating the challenges of being familiar with how to talk to the patients and then also knowing what kind of recommendations you can make that are going to be impactful.
And I think one of the biggest barriers that I see today, which hopefully we can solve for in the future, is needing transparency for the individual's plan benefits. So health plans have done a great job of offering benefits for rent assistance, food assistance, transportation. They have all these wonderful benefits that are available to their members based on some of their social determinants of health. But oftentimes these members have no idea that these benefits are available to them. And as a pharmacist and in the community, you can offer community resources, but oftentimes, you know, depending on where you're located geographically, they may not have all the resources that your customers need. So I think having transparency to plan benefits for a member, either making it easier for a member to access these, either on a web-based or on their patient portal through their health plan, or even having pharmacies have access to these benefits or design of benefits so that we can educate and guide our patients to the resources that they need that they already have covered through their plans will go a long way in trying to solve for this.
So what are some of the SDOH screening tools that are implemented in your pharmacy practice?
Absolutely. So retail pharmacy is in a really unique situation because we see our customers a lot more times than they're seeing their providers or having conversations with other healthcare providers. So having all of those touch points, how do we leverage them? And sometimes it's as simple as there are other vendors to leverage their own proprietary platforms to collect this data, whether that be in a web-based application. Also, we do have some in-store kiosks that we have run some SDOH collection programs for specific plans or PBMs. And then also, as we expand our clinical services, utilizing our EHR system internally to build out customized SDOH encounters that can either be applied to a whole patient population, specific, targeting measures, but having the capability to customize those encounters in a place to document and house that and house those responses, whether that be face to face or even connecting with them digitally. So being able to send them a secure digital message through text or email is crucial in ensuring that we are collecting the most accurate data. Because to Amy's point earlier, sometimes these conversations, although our patients really trust our pharmacists and are very honest with us, sometimes these are hard conversations to have, and they may not want to answer these face to face, and they might feel more comfortable and might be more open if they have the option to submit their responses digitally.
I think Max demonstrated a ton of different tools that we have at our disposal, but I personally think that our best tools are our trusted pharmacy associates. Most of the time, we can glean some information about a customer's SDOH in the course of regular conversation. I know for me, as an example, I had a mom come in and ask me what else she could give her baby in the baby's bottle other than milk and Mountain Dew. Which kind of took me aback, as you can imagine. And then from there, I was able to kind of ask some further inquiries very gently about their situation. And I was able to determine that they had some significant food insecurities and educational barriers. I was able to get her some information about resources in the community that would help her get access to quality foods. And then I spent about a half of an hour walking to the cooler section with her in the baby aisle just to help her understand how to best look at foods and drinks and make healthy choices for her child.
Amy, I think your story there is a really, really good example of how these social determinants of health conversations have been happening for years without having that official social determinants of health title attached to it. It's in our nature as pharmacists to want to be helpful and educate our patients for the best possible outcome. And these SDOH opportunities and the tools that we've kind of talked about are going to be a great way to document and add value to the work that we've already been doing for years.
And what are some of the steps that you have taken to help patients with experiencing SDOH? I know we've already talked about some of them, but are there any additional ones that you would like to add?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I'm, like I had said before, I just moved into my new role, but I did work with social determinants of health in my previous role. And a good amount of my conversations with these patients, I really found myself working with them just to find local resources aimed at helping with the food insecurity, the housing assistance, transportation resources for medical appointments and such. It's an easy conversation to initiate and just requires a simple internet search to start. I think one of my most memorable social determinants of health encounters was with an elderly woman who was having a really hard time finding food locally and finding some resources to get that food. And with a simple internet search with her zip code, I was able to find a food block two banks away that she had no idea even existed. Really, the most meaningful, impactful steps to take with these patients are usually the smallest because they build that foundation for a better conversation once you can build that trust and provide a resource to them. More recently, now that these SDOH conversations are being initiated through the insurance, it's really been wonderful to let patients know that their insurance companies can also provide them with these resources that they may have no idea even existed.
So how do you integrate social determinants of health considerations into medication counseling, and how could that potentially affect adherence?
So at Rated, we offer to counsel every patient during every visit. Oftentimes you can really understand and have an impact if you're just looking for an indirect reference and you're able to tie that indirect reference to what the patient may need. So as an example, if you have a patient in the pharmacy who, you know, you don't have their prescription ready for, and you say, oh, can you wait in the store? And they say, oh, I can't wait. My neighbor brought me in. You can understand at that point, they may have a transportation issue. So ensuring that you prioritize that patient and either get that prescription ready very quickly for them or offering to deliver it free of charge later is imperative to ensure that that patient gets the medication. At Rite Aid, we also integrate certain facets of our SDOH questions within our medication therapy management program. So as an example, we're regularly completing adherence check-ins, and a lot of those questions overlap with social determinants of health factors. So although we're asking general adherence-related questions, such as, do you have a way to pick up your medications? It's really also driving at that SDOH piece. And we can provide appropriate resources or recommendations through that adherence counseling or the general medication therapy management program.
And then how can pharmacists and pharmacies best work with their communities to address social determinants of health that impact the community in a broader sense?
So I think that our local pharmacists at Rite Aid are in a great position to work with their communities in a broader sense, just because of the many touch points that they have on a daily basis with all types of community members. It can be something as simple as making a food bank recommendation to a senior patient that's living in a high rise. That patient can then speak with other members of their senior community to spread the word that, A, not only there's local resources for them, but for more information on those resources, they can go to their local pharmacy and speak with that trusted pharmacist who's already helped them. A great example of this is a colleague of mine used to partner with their local Department of Aging at least once a month to just keep an updated list of resources for medical transportation, senior socials, and food banks for their patients in a rural, really underserved pharmacy location. It was such a simple yet impactful partnership and really helped to serve a large number of patients in that community. I think our local pharmacists can also partner with departments of health or aging to find out what services are offered and then what services or resources can be offered to those patients beyond what the local pharmacies can offer.
And just expanding on kind of Emily's direction is how can pharmacists get directly involved within the community, whether that be holding events at the store or, you know, having events within the community, having a representative or a pharmacist representative there to provide healthcare screenings and education services, as well as health navigation services. So when you think about the potential for pharmacists to offer, you know, health screenings and kind of educational workshops that are really focused on like chronic disease management, so blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, and pharmacists have a innate ability to help identify at-risk individuals by picking up on cues that they have in regular conversations, as both my colleagues have kind of prefaced. So really, really leveraging our skill set in that sense. And then from a health navigation standpoint, guiding patients through the healthcare system as best as we can and connecting them with resources and services to address their social needs, right? So, and this could be anything from helping them accessing those benefits, helping them schedule appointments, or just plainly navigating their insurance coverage.
How can pharmacists kind of collaborate more effectively with other healthcare providers in addressing social determinants of health?
I think there's many ways that we can partner with other healthcare providers to address this. I think the main way is really when you recognize that someone has a financial resource constraint, making sure that you're working with their provider to find an alternative medication. I get that our providers are wanting the best medication for their patient, but at the end of the day, if the patient isn't taking that medication because it's too expensive, it's not effective. Providers would much rather see their patient adherent to a less effective medication than non-adherent to a more effective medication. So honestly, just reaching out and using the tools at your resources to make that recommendation to that provider to change from a brand name medication to a generic or from two medications to a combo product. I think we can have a lot of impact in that way by just making simple recommendations that we should be making as pharmacists.
And I think as most healthcare providers would probably agree. Time is very valuable at the provider level, the pharmacist level. Any healthcare professional can agree, you know, how we value our time is important. So in order for us to collaborate more effectively with healthcare providers, Rite Aid has developed some unique technology advancements to help collaborate more efficiently and effectively with these providers. So with most providers using some form of electronic prescribing platform, we are able to send direct call to action notices or recommendations to providers in real time electronically. So as Amy kind of mentioned, if there's a cost issue or an insurance issue, effectiveness, side effects, whatever the case may be as it pertains to a medication, if we need to change that at all, we can send a new Rx request or a change Rx request in real time electronically that will give providers our direct intervention recommendation and also provide them an easy way to send that requested change back to us in a new electronic prescription. So it just makes it super valuable from a provider perspective that they don't have to guess at what the patient's insurance coverage may be, what might be cheaper or not. We can send a direct recommendation that we know will be covered. And then also letting the pharmacist be able to do that on demand is very crucial to time management, you know, through workflow. And we also understand if we were to call a provider, we may have to leave a message. We may be on hold. They may have to call us back and vice versa. So being able to do that in real time is super impactful.
And what role do you see pharmacists playing in the future of healthcare and pharmacy, especially addressing social determinants of health?
Absolutely. So I know all of us on this call and our fellow counterparts at Rite Aid are very enthusiastic on the future role that pharmacists can play and how it relates to the expanded scope of practice for pharmacists. So everyone is always focusing on improving access to care, all while managing costs and still maintaining high quality healthcare services. So pharmacists, as we progress into the future, will continue to have an expanded scope of practice that allows them to provide a broader range of healthcare services beyond traditional dispensing roles. The times where pharmacy interactions were just solely transactional are gone. So we need to leverage those in a clinical sense at every opportunity we can. So where we'll have the most impact is going to be through different types of point of care testing services and chronic disease management. These services will lead to more integration with pharmacists and healthcare providers, being able to utilize our EHR and have open transparency around what happened in our pharmacies. So when a healthcare provider is reviewing a patient's chart, they're able to see what type of services they had outside of the provider's office. So they have a broader sense of the overall health of their patients. I think some headwinds for us to get there and get there quicker are right now our policy change at the state level and also credentialing status with insurers. So it's very hard right now for pharmacists to be able to provide a covered service because of the credentialing process. And I think as these two things evolve, this will open up that access to quality healthcare services while keeping those costs affordable for our patients.
To echo Max's sentiments there, I am extremely excited for the future of the social determinants of health conversations, specifically for these types of conversations to be more recognized and initiated through insurance providers. These types of conversations happen every single day in community pharmacy without most pharmacists even realizing it. Bringing awareness to the issue with pharmacists becoming more in tune with our community needs is going to benefit our patients who need it the most. These SDOH conversations are going to help patients not only get the most out of their plan benefits, as Max has talked about, but also will help to optimize their medication regimens, like Amy had addressed, for an additional health benefit. Considering that we see a patient on average 35 times a year, we can have an amazing impact.
And then lastly, as we're sort of wrapping up, is there anything else that you would like to add that we might not have touched on or something that you want to re-highlight?
Yes, I have two things. So I just wanted to call out that at Rite Aid, we're focused on innovating to drive improved patient outcomes across all patient populations. So we've done a lot of work in the last few years around extended day supply prescriptions and predictive refills of maintenance medications. The goal here is to sync up the medications for our patients and fill them less frequently for larger quantities to minimize that transportation burden, that memory burden. And these two programs can contribute significantly to better adherence rates, which means better health outcomes, whether that patient has a social determinants of health risk or not. We also have compliance packaging that can make it very easy for a customer that struggles to remember to take their medications to visibly see if they've missed a dose and ensure they don't take that double dose. Because at the end of the day, being non-adherent by missing doses is not a good thing, but taking more doses than you should in a given day is also very, very dangerous. So we have tools for our patients to use to make sure that that doesn't happen as well. And then I just want to reiterate that these conversations and providing support to these patients is not a new concept. In fact, our pharmacists have been providing life-altering support in their communities for the entirety of our profession as pharmacies. We now have a name for it for the program, but the essence is the same. A pharmacist takes care of their patients and their communities. So for pharmacies and pharmacists interested in leaning more fully into these SDOH programs, there are three things that I think you can do to prepare yourselves. Get comfortable with uncomfortable conversations. Utilize your entire pharmacy team because you're all trusted members of that community. And lastly, like Emily has said a multitude of times, know your local resources and be able to provide them to your patients because that builds additional trust in your capabilities to provide for them.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.